Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Molly DeMarco. I have a couple of team members, one who is here, Danielle Uslin, and Brett Shepherd, who was our community garden manager. He's not here, but he's responsible for a lot of this work. I'm going to be speaking a little bit about our community gardens and some of the results we've had, and then move a lot into what sort of zoning and policy issues we've had to face as we've started and run 18 gardens in North Carolina. We have nothing to declare. So we found, a lot of the research has shown, that community gardens provide an opportunity to improve access to healthy foods. Our goals here have been to develop community gardens, particularly to reach SNAP participants, and then examine the process of forming those gardens, including how to work with municipal and organizational policy. And I'll show you a little bit about where these gardens are. This funding for this project is through our SNAP Ed grant. We work mostly in rural communities. We have one more urban area, which is where the University of North Carolina is, there in the middle. The rest of our counties are rural in nature. To date, we have started 18 gardens, and like I said, 16 of those are rural, two are semi-urban. We've been doing this for about 2 years, but we brought more on in our second year. We do interventions with SNAP participants, so getting them to the garden, and then working with them on how to garden. We try to work as best we can to have to sort of build self-determination and empowerment into what we do, so folks choose what they're going to grow, where the food is going to go. We employ community garden managers from the communities and pay them for that. We do workshops in the communities with experts like master gardeners, et cetera, and we have nutritionists, and these are some of the topics that we cover. We do a lot of evaluation. We're really interested to see what works, especially as we have 18 gardens and different levels of success. We do pre- and post-test surveys to look at knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors around gardening and also diet. We look at garden yield to see how much is being produced, of course, what's being produced, type of produce. We also interview our garden managers every year to see where we need to improve, what's going well, what's not going quite as well. And then we've also been looking at how things have been going working with the municipalities and organizations that host our community gardens. So just some brief results. We have seen an increase in fruit and vegetable consumption among our participants and a decrease in fruit juice consumption. We also have been glad to see that the enjoyment of community garden participation has been high, and most of our participants said they wanted to participate again next year. We've also seen that respondents are saying that they're learning how to grow food and that they saved money on food by augmenting what they spend on food by use of what they get from the garden. In our first year, we had about 2,700 pounds of produce from those gardens. And by the time we got to our second year, we've significantly increased that. I'll explain why. It has a lot to do with getting these gardens up and running and what we've had to go through in terms of working with municipalities and organizations on that. And that's a picture of one of our gardens at a tribal center. So some of the things we heard from our community garden managers through this work is that our university was helpful in figuring out how to work with, to plan and start conversations. So the university was a catalyst in many of these gardens. Some folks had already started thinking about wanting a garden. Some had already gotten started and were not focused on low-income participants. So the university really served as a catalyst and a go-to and for technical assistance. Another community garden manager said it was fun watching families work together and knowing that good connection to food and what you are eating. And another talked about the community engagement. When we planted, everyone was out there. Everyone was laughing and talking. And when picking time came, it was the same. The children were really interested in learning. They wanted to know about what could grow and what couldn't grow in the garden. So some information on our locations. A lot of them were municipal and municipal jurisdictions, so we had a number at public housing facilities, these first two, and we also had a number that were at senior centers. The Eden Senior Center in particular had a direct relationship with the town of Eden. Most of those are rural except for the top one, which we'll talk about more. And then we had some that were at private organizational jurisdictions. So the University United Methodist Church is in Chapel Hill, where UNC is. And then we had a tribal location in a rural part of our state. And this is a photo of one of the, well, it's a trailer park out in a rural part of the state that has been working with us for 2 years. And the community garden manager is the lady in the middle. So what we found, and it's interesting, sort of coincides with what Leah's project found, is that in rural communities, there's not a lot of zoning. It makes it a little bit easier to start a community garden because there's not really any sort of zoning or rezoning to work with. But we found that in urban areas, it's quite a bit different. Although Chapel Hill is a special case, there's a lot of zoning. We have one of the top urban and regional planning programs in the nation, and maybe that's why we have so many zoning laws in our town. So we had to do a lot with the two gardens that we have so far in our town. The first is the University United Methodist Church. This was on church land that they just acquired through a donation, and it took a year to get this garden up and going because they had to deal with being near a watershed and having to put in protection so runoff from gardening doesn't get into the river. Also where parking could be. There are a number of things. And luckily this church had the wherewithal to be able to hire a consultant. And that consultant helped them navigate our town's zoning and rezoning and planning and approval process. The other one in Chapel Hill I wanted to highlight is a public housing complex. And like I said, we worked in a number of public housing complexes. And this is the only one where the town of Chapel Hill required us to sign a performance agreement between the university and the town. Even though all we do is come onto their land a couple times a year, help with some community organizing and technical assistance, we still had to also provide them a certificate of UNC's insurance policy. So that's challenging to track down. We're just one center in the university, and how do you find the certificate of insurance? The answer is find your legal department. And so there's just a little bit more information about why the town cared so much. They pretty much require a certificate of insurance for any person or entity doing any sort of work, even your Xerox person who comes and fixes copy machines on town property has to provide their certificate of insurance. But this was a lot of hoops to jump through, and we must do this every year. So some other information about some of the less strenuous work we've had to do to get gardens going. With some of our more rural areas, we've had agreements or memorandums of understanding, including this public housing program. But they were already interested in doing some work with gardens, so this was fairly easy. The same with the Warren County Senior Center. We had an MOU, mostly detailing what sort of education and technical assistance we would provide. Our other senior center, we drew up an agreement as well and worked a lot in the town around community organizing. And then we've also done a lot of work in some of the places with town staff. Here in Eden, in this rural community, we worked with both town planning and landscaping staff who did a lot of work in the garden, and we were just able to more leverage what they already had in terms of resources. We didn't have to do a lot of navigating of policy and zoning. So as you can see, it sort of varies. Even in the same state, zoning is different. You have to deal with land use issues, water issues, liability regulation. It helps to get town folks, town staff involved right from the outset. And of course, work with your community partners to figure out who you need to go to and what's the most important people to involve. Thank you. I can take one question.
The town planning and landscaping staff that are involved, they do that on county time, or is that volunteer time? How do you get them involved in that?
Good question. I'm pretty sure that was county time. They did it as part of their pay, which is helpful for this sort of a project. Thank you.